The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Although this week's Parsha is Parsha's Shlach Lecha, last week we gave a shiur in Parsha's Ba'alei Sicha, which I would like to continue this evening. And that was on the Chatzetzeres, the trumpets, in Bamidbar Yud of Ba'alei Sicha. We had the mitzvah of making the Chatzetzeres shel Kesef. Asher lechoshte Chatzetzeres Kesef. You shall make two trumpets of silver, and the various times when they were used. And one of the times that they were used was b'chisavo melchoma b'artzechem, that if war would come into your land, al atzara tzereschem, the enemy that would cause you tzoras problems, v'harei osem b'chatzetzeres, you shall blow on the trumpets, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem elokeichem, and you shall be remembered before Hashem your God, v'noshatem eveichem, and he will save you from your enemies. Now we went into, firstly, the various mitzvahs, the various dinim laws of the Chatzetzeres, the various times they were used to call the entire Edo congregation together, or to call the Nesiim together, the princess of each Shevet, or when it came time to break camp and journey. And we gave the reasons for this mitzvah, but we dwelled on what was the purpose to blow the trumpets at the time when enemies came into your land. And actually, the Chazal bring, this doesn't only mean enemies, but this means on any tzoras hatzibur, any national calamity or problem. And so first I would like to just review one or two of the principles that we said in the last shiur. We brought from the Rambam in Hilchos Tainus, Mitzvah Zasei Min Atera Lizei Kuloria B'Chatzetzeres HaKol Tzoreh Shetovei Al HaTzibur. It's a positive commandment to blow on the trumpets on every tzoreh that would come on the tzibur, on the nation. And he quotes our posuk here in the Sedra, Kleima HaKol Dovish Yitza Lechem, on everything. For example, Betzuras V'Deve V'Arbe, be it drought or plague or locusts and so forth. So Rambam says this is from the ways of tshuva. Shebizman shetovet, because why, if we blow on the trumpets, will that, what will that do in regards to the locusts? What will that do in regards, in reference to the drought or the enemy? So the Rambam says shebizman shetovet tzora v'yizaku aleho v'yoriu, when a tzora comes, and then we bring out the trumpets and we blow them, Yedu HaKol Shebeglal Maaseim Oroim Hora Lehem. This brings to everybody's attention that these calamities are not happening merely haphazardly, but they are happening because of our deeds. Kakosu V'Amneseichem Hitu, as it states in the Pasuk. V'zehu Sheyigroim Lohosir Atzorah Me'aleihem. And once we recognize that, that our deeds are causing the tzoras, and then we will do something to improve our deeds, that's already tshuva. And that will remove the tzoras from us. Avalim lo yizaku v'lo yoriu, but if we will not blow on the trumpets, elayim rudovezem minnego olam iralonu, and we will say, like it's customary to say, what does this have to do with us? A hurricane comes, heaven forbid, fire, drought, floods. We see it all of the time, and these are just natural events of the world. They have nothing to do with our deeds. So he says, not only is this a chisod and a lack in emuna, in faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, But this is also very cruel. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing these sorus. This is like when the body's in pain. The body's in pain. This is a message. It's trying to communicate something to the person. Something is wrong, fix it. If you ignore it, then the body just goes into additional pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings these sorus when something is wrong. If we ignore it, then he is forced to bring more sorus. That's what it says in the Teichochos, that if you will walk with me in a haphazard way, by saying that everything or anything that happens in the world to Klal Yisrael are only natural events which have nothing to do with our deeds, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will walk with you also in a haphazard way. And I will let these things happen. So this was the purpose of the Chatzetzeres, to bring home to us that the natural calamities are not happening because of reasons divorced from us, but because direct reasons because of us. And therefore, we must do something about it. And through this, B'neishatem me'evecham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us from these, from our enemies and the tzoros. I mentioned last week that according to the Rambam's opinion, the Chatzetzeres for this purpose is even Bizman Azeh, even today. We don't see it. Although I mentioned that I did see it. When I was at the Kotel in December, I saw a whole large contingent of Sfardim, Jews, come to the Kotel, and they had trumpets, two trumpets, and they were blowing on the trumpets. We also mentioned last week that this is a very, very great principle. Not only of what we're referring to, but it shows how great the person is, that he can even govern great world problems, and they are not independent or divorced from his acts or his actions. And we mentioned that most people, they observe history, or they read about history, they might even write history, and they become victims and pawns of history. But this is all Devarim B'Teilim. This is meaningless, totally meaningless. What is important is those who make history. Sometimes the journalists feel they're more important writing about the history than those who make the history. But this is Dvorim B'Teilim, this is totally unimportant. Unimportant. What is important are those who make the history. But the Torah is telling us here that everyone, every Jew, has the power to make history, because his acts and deeds mold world events. So this tells us how great an individual is. And then also we mentioned a very important point, is that when we see something wrong is happening, and we do understand it's because of our deeds, we should not follow popular pattern by pointing a finger at someone else, at others. We say, well, they are not keeping Shabbos. They are not keeping kosher. They are not doing this. We have to point the fingers at ourselves. And I mentioned from my Rebbe, I went into a number of examples, but I'll just mention one again, where he used to quote from the Shalmin Perek HaRaya, where it would state, "Im odem raya do shenishashu min shenishash min haTorah leik vihischazik es atzmi b'Torah." The person sees a generation that has forsaken the Torah, then he should go and strengthen himself in Torah. He didn't say he should start pointing fingers at other people and tell them to strengthen themselves in Torah. The first thing is that he has to strengthen himself in Torah. Then, if he does that, he'll be an influence on others. Like the Chazal say, "Kshayt atzma chotchila, v'ahaka kshayt achirim." First, ornament yourselves. Make yourselves well-groomed. And then later, after that, you can worry about others. So we must not point fingers at others, we must point fingers at ourselves. And even if kulanu tzadikim, we are all as righteous as we feel we are. If there are other Jews that are not, many times it's our fault, it's not their fault. There's something wrong with our influence. This also I mentioned from my Rebbe, where he used to say, if two are sitting in the base of Medrash and learning, and a third is sitting next to him, next to them, and that third person is wasting his time, then it's not the third person. The two are not learning properly. Because if two people would be learning Torah properly, it would be impossible for a third person to be sitting next to them and wasting his time. If he would want to waste his time, he would walk away. The fire, the influence would be too much. So that's the same thing. If we see that there are so many non-kosher Jews in the world, the fault lies with us, not with them. So therefore, there's where we have to point the finger. Now, from there we went to the Mishnah Novus. The Mishnah Novus in Perek Hamishi, in some nuskos it's Mishnah Ches, in others it's a different number of the Mishnah. It states, Shiva mine paroni es boin la'olam, that there are seven world calamities that can come upon the world, heaven forbid, al shiva gufe aveira. And they come from seven different aveiras. Now this, the Mishnah is illustrating exactly what we're saying. You think if calamities come on the world, you read about typhoons, you read about hurricanes, you read about war. It has nothing to do with our acts. No, the Mishnah says each one comes for a different Havera. And we mentioned the first three. We learned about the first three last week. And that was Mitzosen Ma'asrin, Mitzosen Einan Ma'asrin, the obligation to support the Levim and the Kahanim, because they didn't have Parnoso, they weren't given an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the obligation was on the others of Israel, and they had to give their maestros and so forth. If some would give and some wouldn't give, Rav shel Betzuras bo, Miksosin Re'evin or Miksosin Sevein, then minor famines would come to the world. Gomru shelela aser. If no one would give, then Rav Shel Mahuma Vishel Betzuras Bo. Then famines and droughts of terror would come to the world. Ushalelito Lesachala, and if they didn't give chala, this was the portion to the Kahanim from their dough, from their bread, Rav Shel Kliya Bo. Then a famine of annihilation would come to the world. And we won't go into that again this evening, but that we explained last week, and that was basically all of the qualities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of his attributes are mida keneged mida. His justice is perfect. So if he brings something to the world, be it good or not good, it's in exact proportion and exact return for what the world did. And here it's referring about the parnos of the chesed that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he brings parnos to the world, This is his chesed. But he will only bring panosa to the world, chesed, if there is chesed mulmata, chesed here in the world. In this case, it was the problems where Klal Yisrael were menea. They held back the panosa, the chesed, to the kahanim and the levim, so he would hold back his chesed. Now we will go further. And this evening, Im Yetz Hashem will take, those who are three, will take the other four. There's a question on how to count to seven, but some count these three as three, so then there are four more. The Mishnah goes further. Dever Bala Elam. Dever is a plague, epidemic, heaven forbid. Al Mises Hamuris Betorish Aleinim Sadal Vezdin. This comes when Bezdin does not carry out the proper death penalty to criminals that they were supposed to, Valpere Shvis. And if the fruits of Shvis, the seventh year is Shvis, Shmita, we're not supposed to work the land. Everything that has grown in the land during that time, we are not allowed to harvest, but to leave it hefke lachol, where it's ownerless for everyone. We cannot exercise our ownership over the lands. So therefore, everyone can come and take from it. We are supposed to make it available for Jew, for non-Jew, for the animals, for the beast of the field. This is the halacha of Peder Shvis, of the fruits of the seventh year. Now, if these mitzvahs were not kept, and that again is that the Beis Din does not fulfill its obligation in giving out death penalties where it's supposed to, or Peder Shvis, the fruits of Shvis, the endeavor comes to the world. What relationship does Dever have with these Averus? So the Maral explains as follows. In regards to Dever, we see two unique points. Firstly, a plague is something which is very severe. We know of the plagues that took place in Egypt, but we don't have to go that far back. Throughout history, there was the Black Plague, which annihilated, I think they say, 1/3 of the population of Europe. There was the Great Plague, Influenza Plague, right around the First World War, which literally annihilated vast populations. Today we are suffering from plagues. You have the plague of AIDS. Or we see, for example, there's been a lot of writings recently, not only in all over, about malaria, where it's becoming one of the greatest killers again. Cholera and so forth. So a plague, heaven forbid, is something with a very, very great kayach, a great force and a great power. That's one unique point. The second unique point that we see with Dever, with a plague, it's Eina Mavchin Bein Teiv L'Ra. It makes no distinction. Once it gets loose, it annihilates anyone in its path. Adult, children, man, woman, tzaddik v'roshu, righteous or not righteous. And that's what the Chazal tell us, given shenitin hamashchis, rishus lahashchis, shuv eina mafkin bein teiv l'ra, bein zorech tzaddik l'roshu. Once the Malach HaMavis is given this power of a plague, doesn't distinguish anymore between good and bad. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world with a Seder Tov, a wonderful order. In fact, as we mentioned last week, that when we see calamities come to the world, this is not what it's supposed to be. God didn't create a world that's a monster. Bayaris Hashem is kol asher osa ki tov me'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what he made was very, very good. And if he says it's good, then it is. So when we see that nature can become a monster, that means something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong. And we mentioned last week that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave seven mitzvahs to the whole world. And these are seven shmiras. These are seven limitations, seven boundaries. And they form a structure of perfection. And if the world stays within these limits, then the world is in a perfect order. Klal Yisrael, he gave additional mitzvahs, Taryag, because he demanded even a higher level of perfection from them. Now, if any one of these mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs, are broken, then the world goes out of order. And then calamity comes. So, when there's evil in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvahs on how to keep the world good. Ubi'al tohara mikirbecha. We were commanded to remove the evil from within us. This is the Cheves HaTzibur and the Cheves HaBezdin. It's the obligation of the nation, the obligation of people, and it's the obligation of the courts to remove evil from within us. Ubi'ata haro mikirbecha. If evil's removed from within us, then you have a perfect world. This would be similar to the body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect body. Sometimes some poison can get into the system, something counterproductive. Well, the body has ways of removing it, of expelling it. So does the world have ways. So did he give this in the mitzvah HaTorah. And not only to Klal Yisrael. This was given to all of the nations of the world, where they have to enforce their seven mitzvahs. If they do, then the world is a good place to live in. It's in perfection and everything works right. And everything is beseder yofer, it's in perfect order. But if they do not, then what do we have? We have a tarubus, we have a mixture in the world. A mixture between tzedek and rosho, good and evil. And it becomes like the world is hefker. There's total chaos. We allow evil to grow amongst us. And right in our midst, there's good and there's evil. So now the world goes out of order. And because of that, Devar comes. Devar bol elam, a plague comes to the world. And the plague also is like something which is hefker. It doesn't distinguish between tzaddik v'rosho. And it comes with a great chaos, with a great force. And instead of the Bezdin using its force to eliminate evil from the world and to distinguish between tzaddik v'rosho, and which they did not, so now plague comes to the world with such a great force, and it does not distinguish between good and evil. Perhaps a further example could be, sometimes we find in the human body that if the human body takes care of itself, and keeps disease away from itself, then everything is in perfect order. But if it succumbs to disease and infection, then the body has to react in a very radical way. And many times the body will create a defensive system, like high fever, in order to fight against the infection, in order to fight against the disease, but at the same time it will destroy not only the disease in the body, but many, many good cells and parts of the body. Because it can no longer distinguish between the good and evil. It becomes a taruvus, it becomes a total mixture. So this is why, if chas v'sholom, if heaven forbid, when the mises amuris b'teiris sh'leinim sele bezdin, bezdin is not, the courts do not fulfill their rightful responsibility, and they let the world become hefker. They no longer exercise an authority and a supervision over the population, and they let it become hefker, then hefkeres will come to the world. And a plague is hefker, because it just goes and no longer is mafkin, distinguishes between good and evil. And this is in regards to the first Aveira. The second Aveira, which is mentioned there, is Peter Shvis. Now what does it have to do with the fruits of Shvis? Here also, Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us that one time every 7 years we're supposed to take, in Eretz Yisrael, we're supposed to take all of our fruits and make it hefker lachol, give it away to everyone. And this is a good hefker. If we do not do it, then a bad hefker comes. And that's the plague. This is what we're talking about here is extremely relevant to today. We all know what's going on right here in South Africa, and we know what's going on in Africa. We see lawlessness, and we see where courts do not exercise their responsibilities. Governments do not exercise their responsibilities. And it's not only an African problem, it's all over. It was just last week, the Oklahoma bomber. Here, he dynamited a massive building full of people, and he killed some, over 200 people, and I believe there were 19 children amongst them. And now, after years of haggling, they finally got a death sentence against him, and they're going to put him to death. There are people protesting with signs, "How can you be so cruel?" This is the hefker. This is the shuv einon mafkin bin tzadik l'rosho. If people become so thick, so stupid, when they're not going to be mafkin bin tzadik l'rosho, they will no longer be able to distinguish between tzadik v'rosho, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings devar upon the world that will not be mafkin, that will not be able to distinguish between tzadik v'rosho. And today we are living in times when gigantic plagues are returning to the world. Now, that was the fourth. The fifth is Chaya Ra. The fifth is Cherev Bale Eilam, sword comes to the world. This is something also very relevant to us. Sword means war. And we live in a world of continuous wars and continuous bloodshed. Cherev bala olam, sword comes to the world, al inoy hadin, bal ivus hadin, bal hamorim betora shle kahalocha. Inoy hadin is holding back judgment, proper judgment. Ivus hadin is the corruption and distortion of justice. Deen refers to the judgment of monetary matters between people. Hamorim batore shalei kahalocha, to give hayra, not in accordance to halocha, this refers to Issa v'Heter, to the other areas of the Torah, that if something is forbidden and the decision is given, the judgment is given that it's not forbidden but it's permitted, or vice versa, something is permitted and the judgment that's given is that it's not permitted but it's forbidden. This is Hamorim Batorah Shalei Kahalocha. What does sword and war have to do with this? The explanation is as follows. The judgment of Torah, and especially when it comes to the Dinei Mamon, as monetary issues, but all judgments of Torah are always referred to as the cutting of the law. States, for example, Psak Din, Posek Es Adin. Posek Es Adin actually means the splitting, the cutting of the law. Chaitchin Es Adin, Gozrin Es Adin. All of the terminologies that's used for the decisions of the courts are all terminologies which refer to the sharp cutting, the sharp edge. And it's like a sword. And the reason for this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is perfect. Torah is Hashem Temimo. And Pekudei Hashem Yishorim. They're perfect and they're absolutely straight. They do not lean to the right or to the left. In Dinei Mamonos, when it comes to monetary matters, this is for sure. Because there we are commanded that when we judge between two people, the judge is not allowed to look to the right or to the left. He's not allowed to be kosher lezeh, rach lezeh. He can't be tough on one and soft on the other. Leisa hader dal bedin. He cannot have special favor for the poor man. He cannot have special honor for the wealthy man. Leisa gura mivnei ish. He's not allowed to have fear from any man. In other words, when someone is judging the halacha, you can't say, look, this one is my friend. If he's a close friend to one of them, then he has to be disqualified as a judge. He has to be totally, totally objective. The fact is, it states in Ovis, and this is something which is a little, unfortunately, it's a little strange to people. They always feel that if someone is judging them, they should always judge them favorably. It states in the Mishnah in Ovis that when two litigants come before the judge, he has to look at both of them as kirishoy. He has to view both of them as thieves, not as righteous. Because once he views one as righteous, so how can he do something wrong? So it must be the other one's doing something wrong. He has to view both of them kirishoy as thieves. And then base his judgment entirely on the arguments, on the claims, on the counterclaims, the proofs and so forth, that's all. Then you will have a perfectly objective decision. And then you will come to the emes, to the truth. But if he's going to come and say, look, I know Beryl for a long time, he would have never done such a thing. This is kilkul hadin. This is distortion of true judgment. That's why people feel, look, you're judging me, you'll give me a very good deal. Heaven forbid. And it states also that when the Bezdin, when the judges would sit in judgment, they have to see themselves kicherev hamunach al gabi tzavoreihan, like a sword is over their throats. And if heaven forbid they do not give the right judgment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring that sword. Because we're not talking about my opinion or your opinion. We're talking here of Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is perfect. And it doesn't move to the right or to the left. And therefore it's always called Chetchin Es Hadin. They have to determine what the law is in exactness. Now this is in Dinei Mamonos, but this is even by Issa v'Heter. So therefore, Therefore, what the judges do, what the Batei Dinim do, is actually, they are swordsmen. But their sword is the Cheref Shel Shalom. It's a sword of peace. Because it's the sword of the Torah. It brings the truth. And it brings perfection. And it brings the Yosher, what is upright, to the world. So this is their charge. This is what they're obligated to do. Now, what happens if there's Inui Hadin? Inui Hadin is where they withhold justice. Or there's Ivus Hadin. There's a distortion of justice. Or even worse yet, corruption of justice. Or Amerim Batorish Leka Alocha. Or judges or Rabbonim are asked to give verdicts, and they do not give verdicts, they do not pass in halachos in the exactness of the Torah. They are taking that sword, and they're taking that Cheref Shel Shalom, that sword of peace, away from the world. And this throws the world out of perfection. And from here we see a Cheref Shel Melchoma, a sword of war, and a Cheref Shel Shfichas Domim, a bloodshed. This is the explanation. Cherev bole olam, sword comes to the world. Al inui hadin val ivos hadin va hamorim bateirish leka halocha. Therefore, one has to be very, very careful when he renders a decision, be it in the halachas of mammonas, in monetary matters, or in any matters of the Torah. He has to be very careful that it's exact. Now, we look at our court systems of today. The court systems of today, unfortunately, tragically, they've become a laughing stock. People, businessmen have told me, you go to the courts today, it's like going to a lottery. It's a gamble. And you go to the courts today, a case can drag out for years and cost you more money than the whole case was worth to begin with. And all types of obstacles and stalling tactics and this and that and so on. And distortion and corruption. This is why we find cherev in the world. Now, the sixth is Chayaro Bola Elam. Chayaro, these are evil beasts, come to the world. Ashvoshov Achil Hashem. On Shvois, oaths that are taken in the name of God, which are false, and on the desecration of Hashem's name. Firstly, there is something unique about the Averus of Shvur Shom and Chil Hashem. The false Shvurs and the Chil Hashem, which make them different than other Averus in the Torah. These Averus specifically affect the Kovod in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his great name. And it desecrates his honor. And this is what is stated in Aseres HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments. It states that you should not use my name falsely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not cleanse the person who uses my name falsely. What one is doing here, this is an aveira against the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same thing, Chil Hashem, desecrating the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his honor. He swears by Hashem's honor, and he desecrates it. And it states, "Kol ha'elam kulan nizdazdeya." The whole world trembled when this came off of Har Sinai. Well, actually, this is a very, very great avera, because if we imagine a great and mighty king who would go and try to falsify his signature, who would try to go and make a false document and sign it with the king's name, this is the desecration of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, these are averus which are unique from the rest of the averus in the Torah and very alien. And we see that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by nature should evoke great terror and fear in a person. You have a mighty king, you might try to say, look, his servant said this, or his servant told me this, but you're not going to say that the king said this, or the king told me this when he didn't, or the king signed this. So a king's name evokes a great fear and terror. So how much more so the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, the king of all kings. This is why it states, Nizdazeya, the whole world trembled. To go up against the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find, it could be that the generations have deteriorated so much that we do not find it much today, but it was always normal practice. If someone would come into a court and you would have him take an oath, you would tell him to put his hand on the Bible. Why? Because once he did that, he was afraid to swear falsely. He's swearing by the name of God, he's going to swear falsely. He was afraid, it was a terror. If the world degenerates to the point where they no longer have a fear from using HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name falsely, they no longer have a fear of the honor of his name, a terror, and this is what we find today. That's how much the world would degenerate. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring upon the world, heaven forbid, another great terror. Now this was a fear and a terror which was good. He will bring on a very, very bad fear and terror. And that's Chayas Ro'os. There's something very unique about ferocious beasts. They evoke a terror amongst humankind. When you see a ferocious beast, if you ever, the movie makers, when they want to create a terror, so they want, they bring up through their imagination all types of dinosaurs and dragons. These are ferocious beasts, because this evokes a terror in the human being more than other things. So Chayas Ro'os Bo'os La'elam, if we come to a generation that we see that there's Chil Hashem, no one cares anymore about the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, or Shvuah Shov, they even swear falsely in his name. They use his name to curse all of the time. They've lost that much that would evoke an enormous terror amongst human beings. But this was a good terror because of the greatness of the king, the Shmei HaGodl, his great name. Then Chayarob Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will bring ferocious beasts to the world, which will evoke a terror of evil in the people. Now the Maral brings, actually we can go one step further. Why is it that the animals will stand up against man? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he told Adam, Ki b'tzelem elakim ase eser Adam. Kodesh Baruch Hu made Adam in the image of, in his own image, which means he made him as a king, a melech. And he said, "Hudu b'degas hayom ba'ef hashamayim, rule over everything in the world, from the fish of the sea to the birds of the heaven." He made man a ruler over everyone, and he placed the terror of man in the hearts of all of the animals. But what was man's duty? Man's duty as king of this universe, of this earth, was to praise the king of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Yehuda. Give praise to Hashem. But when he, did you ever hear of a servant that would disgrace his master's name? A servant that disgraces his master's name is no longer his servant. If that happens, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his malchus away from him. And that being the case, then no longer will the animals be afraid of him, but he will be afraid of the animals. He will let them loose. The Maral adds to this. He says, perhaps Chazal have in mind also here, not only the chayos ra'us, the evil beasts of the field, but the malchias, the great malchias, the great empires of the world that were compared to evil beasts. When Daniel had a dream, he saw four ferocious monsters come out of the sea. Zeh meshuna mizeh. Each one different and more ferocious than the other. And these monsters represented the four great empires that would stand up against Klal Yisrael and want to rule the world and destroy Yisrael. And the first one was Babel, Babylonia. They destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash and sent us into Golus. And then then there was the second one was the second one was Modai Paras, and that was the, from Modai Paras came Achashverosh and Haman that wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And then was Yovan, the Greek Empire. And they marched into Yerushalayim, v'timu es hamikdash, and they brought impurities to our Beis HaMikdash. And this was the whole Milchamas Chanukah, the wars of Chanukah. And then the fourth one was Esav, Edom, Edom and Yesid HaMolech, the Roman Empire, that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash and put us, sent us into Golus, which we are still in Golus. Now, it's interesting to note that these empires, they were illustrated as ferocious beasts. A ferocious beast is capable of great devastation, of doing anything, doing things beyond one's imagination. We've lived through this. This is what we saw during the time, well, our ancestors saw during the time of Babel, and they saw during the time of Esau, of Edom. We saw during the time of the Nazis, Yimach Shemom. It was a ferocious beast that went to annihilate a world. Or during the time of Russian Stalin, Yimach Shemom, where they would annihilate 20, 30, 40, 50 million people. So this is what the Chazal is telling us. That when you see a world that degenerates to the point where even HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name means nothing, not only his mitzvahs mean nothing, but even his name. You see people use his name meaningless. And they use his name to curse. And they use his name to swear. And they desecrate his name, the Schil Hashem, and it makes no difference. Instead, my Kodesh Baruch Hu says that he said on Klal Yisrael, you are to bring Kiddush Hashem, sanctity to me, pride to me,
Mamleches Kahanim Begay Kodosh. They bring Chil Hashem. If it degenerates that much and they have no fear from that, what they should have a fear and a terror for, then he will bring something very alien into the world, which will evoke fear and terror amongst all. And that's the Chaya Ro Bale Elam. And now we come to the final one, to the seventh. And that's Golus Bale Elam. Exiled from our land, comes to the world. Al Evdi Averizorev, Al Gilarais, Ushvichas Domi. There are the three cardinal Averis: idolatry, adultery and incest, and bloodshed. Al Shmitas Oretz, and not allowing the land to rest in the seventh year. What is the meaning? What is the meaning of this? Golus comes to the world. See, there's, we can have Tzoras, but we can have Tzoras in Eretz Yisrael. But Golus comes to the world, exile comes to the world, when we take away we remove the level of Eretz Yisrael that it's supposed to have. We have many psukim in the Torah that it states that if the inhabitants of the land do not uphold the levels of Eretz Yisrael, then batoki yaso ha'oretz esheishveho, then the land will expel its inhabitants. And that's golos, when we are expelled from our land. So what does golos come from, the Chazal wanted to know. So they bring firstly the three cardinal averus and shmitas ha'oretz, not letting the land rest in the seventh year. The Maral explains as follows. Firstly, we know that there's a link between the three cardinal averus: idolatry, adultery and incest, and bloodshed. But what does that have to do with Eretz Yisrael? He says Eretz Yisrael was given three milas, three dimensions, which makes it unique from all other lands. Firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu places his name in the land where he is considered Elokei HaOretz. He is considered the God of this land. Yeah. What does that mean? And we have many sources on that. Mishpatei Elokei HaOretz, the laws of the God of this land. What does he mean? He's the God of this land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of the entire world. We find that the Chazal tell us, Mi she'dor be'oretz, ki lo yesh le eloka. Umi she'ein ador be'oretz, is ki lo ein le eloka. Someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he has a God. Lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he does not have a God. What does this mean? It means as follows. Kodesh Baruch Hu, for sure, he's the God of the entire universe. He created the universe. But all other lands, he gives over to a shliach. He gives over to an emissary that should rule that land. Eretz Yisrael, he does not give over. He takes care of himself. This is what's written in Parshas Ekev. It states, Eini Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eye is on this land. Meireshish Hashona Atzef Hashona. He's Derish. He seeks the goodness of this land, the welfare of this land, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Actually, I once heard in the name of a rebellious Lapian, Zichrein Lebrocha, he asked the question, we find that when Jews go into Golus, they absorb the nature and the culture of the people that they go into. You'll see Sfardim resemble the nations that they lived amongst. Ashkenazim will resemble the nations they lived amongst, Italians, Jews, and so forth. So he asked the question, he says, in the last era before the war, you take for example the Lithuanian Jew, he absorbed a lot of the culture of the Lithuanians. But he says he doesn't understand how. They had nothing to do with the Lithuanians. He says the Lithuanian Jews were like a state within a state. They kept together. They were very close-knit community. They had very, very little to do with Lithuanians. They weren't in the government. They weren't politicians. The Lithuanian, the majority of them were illiterate peasants. So why is it they absorbed the various natures and the idiosyncrasies of the Lithuanians? So he answered it with this. He says, because Achazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he places one of his, a different, a shliach over every land, one of his emissaries, a malach over, should be in charge of each land. And that malach, who's appointed to a specific land, influences the culture of that land. And when Jews were in Lithuania, so even though they didn't mix with the Lithuanians, they came under the influence of the Tsar, of the angel that was appointed over the Lithuanians. So therefore they would absorb that culture. At any rate, so therefore this is what it's meant, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is considered specifically Elokei HaOretz, the God of Eretz Yisrael. A second dimension that Eretz Yisrael has is a special sanctity, Kedushas HaOretz. The sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha means an elevation from the material world, to elevate oneself from the earth. And this was given to Eretz Yisrael more than any other land. We find all the time Eretz Yisrael is referred to as Kedushas HaOretz. The land is sanctified. The fruits are sanctified. The grains are sanctified. This is why we have, so the Mishnah says, "Kol mitzvah atluyis ba'aretz ein neheges ela ba'aretz." If it's a mitzvah which has to do with land, then that's dafken Eretz Yisrael. So it has the dimension of kedushas ha'aretz, an elevation over the physical elements of the world. The third dimension it has is known as Eretz HaChaim. Benosati tzvi be'eretz HaChaim. It's referred to the land of life. This we see also in the Gemara in Brochus, that when they told Rabbi Yechanan, Ikasabi b'Bovel, there are people who live in Bovel outside of Eretz Yisrael, and they live to very old ages. It says, Rabbi Yechanan couldn't understand it. He says, how can you live to very old ages outside of Eretz Yisrael? The Broch of life was given in Eretz Yisrael. So these are three dimensions. Now these three dimensions, if the practices of idolatry become prevalent in Eretz Yisrael, this totally annihilates the first dimension, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the specific Eloka, God of Eretz Yisrael, because here you go and you worship other gods. So this creates a beetle, this creates a destruction of that dimension. When there is gilarias, incest and adultery in Eretz Yisrael, this totally annihilates the second dimension of Kedushas HaOretz, because the Kedushas HaOretz is the Kedushas HaChemer, to elevate one from the earth that he was created from. And incest and adultery is just the opposite. These were the avedas of the Mitzrim, of the Egyptians, who were known as Besorim Kipsar Chamorim. Their flesh were like flesh of donkeys. And then, the third is the Eretz HaChaim. It had a brocha because of the perfection of Eretz Yisrael. It was exactly in the middle, not to the right or to the left. Something to an extreme will always eventually fade away. But something exactly in the middle will never fade away. That's the Midas HaEmes. So Eretz HaChaim Shvichas Domim, if there is bloodshed, this totally annihilates that dimension of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if there are any of these three avedas become too prevalent in Eretz Yisrael, be it idolatry, or adultery, or an incest, and Shvichas Domim, be it Shvichas Domim, the bloodshed, these will totally destroy the special dimensions of Eretz Yisrael, any one of them, and it creates Golus. The land will expel its inhabitants. Batoki Oretz Eshishvecho. Now, one final point, but it states a fourth one, and that was Shvis, Shmitas Oretz, that they didn't allow the land to rest. What does that have to do with it? And this Tamaral says as follows. This that the land was given a Shvis, a Shabbos. Shabbos we do not find was given to the entire world. Shabbos was given to Israel. And we find Shabbos was given to Eretz Yisrael every 7th year or every 50th year, the Yovel, which was after 7 Shemitahs. Why is this? Shabbos was only given to something which reaches perfection. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire world, Vayar Hashem, he saw that everything he's making was very, very good. And now the world was perfect. So, ma chosra olam, what was the world lacking? It states it was lacking menucha. Bo Shabbos bo menucha. It was lacking rest. Shabbos came, and now there was rest. And on the seventh day, he created Shabbos. Because when something is complete, then is the time for it to stop, to rest. When something is incomplete, then it's not time for it to rest or to stop. So Shabbos was given to the world after it was in totality, complete. Shabbos was given to Israel because they were given a shlemus, a totality. So therefore, they rest. But it wasn't given to the rest of the world, because the rest of the world never reaches a totality, a shlemus. So therefore there's never the time to stop and rest. And that's why it states Olam Haba, the world to come, is Yem Shekula Shabbos. That's all Shabbos. Why? Because this world is the world of Malocha. This is the world to do. And Olam Haba is the world where you rest, because you have reached a totality. That's why only Eretz Yisrael do we find the mitzvah of Shmitzes Oretz, where the land rests once every 7 years. Because on Eretz Yisrael it says Eretz v'leisech sakol bei, a land which is not lacking anything. And only in Eretz Yisrael is it written a land that was not lacking anything. And when Eretz Yisrael was amongst it was with its brochas, then leisech sakol bei, it was lacking nothing. If it was lacking nothing, then it must be given a time to rest. So once every 7 years was the Shemitah. If this mitzvah of Shemitah was not kept, so this destroyed that dimension of Eretz Yisrael, where it was in totality and it must rest. And if that dimension was destroyed, then again, Batoki Oretz Eshoshveha, the land would expel its inhabitants and it caused Golus. So this is the seventh. So the seventh is that Golus Bola Elam al Evdi Averzora Gilorai Shvichas Domin Val Shmitzes Oretz. Exile came because of idolatry, incest and adultery, the spilling of blood, and not allowing the land to rest when it should have. What do we learn from the entire Mishnah in the Klal Godel, and the overriding principle is that, heaven forbid, calamities come to the world, they do not come by themselves. And they are not supposed to come, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create a world that's malfunctioned. He created a perfect world. But calamities come to the world. This means there's a disorder in the world. And what causes the disorder in the world? It's not a mechanical failure from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side. It's because of the acts of Klal Yisrael, or the acts of humankind. And therefore, when we see calamities come, we have to improve our deeds in order to bring the world back to its order. We can govern history. Not that we can read about history and observe history. We can do better. We can make history. And that is was the purpose, like the Rambam explains in the Chatzetzreis, that when we saw a tzora coming on the tzibur, so there was a mitzvah of the Re'esam b'kizavo milchoma be'artzechem Bahari Aisem Bechatzeitzreis, that we should blow on the trumpets, Veniskatim Lifnei Hashem Alekechem, we will be remembered to Hashem, our God, Veneshatim Eivechem, and He will save you from your enemies. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.